For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love the Jackson 5. And you know what I love even more? When we get an Eagles win. And we got Seth Joyner in studio, who's brought to us today by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. Seth, good morning, buddy. He's mouthing the song right now, by the way. He's a little bit too...
I was lip-syncing. You didn't hear me mixed in there with Michael?
All right.
I heard it.
I saw it. I didn't hear it. Seth.
You guys are like exactly the same range, you and Michael. Getting nailed.
It's called harmonizing right there, yeah.
You know, he yeah. pretended for his voice to be that low. It wasn't naturally that low.
I don't know.
You got the knowledge.
I know that was some singing he was doing.
Seth, let me do something that's a very not smart thing to do. I'm going to call you a wuss. I think you were afraid to actually sing on the air, and that's why
I sang on the air last year. What are you talking about?
I sang Barry White. James, I remember it.
There you go. Thank you.
Can you do anything other than Barry White? Like, if Seltzer brings you back at 9:30 with a different Jackson 5 song,
can you do it?
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I was born ready, man.
Okay.
There's nothing that I can't do.
Well, I was conceived ready, so that's why I beat you by 9 months.
Are you really that confident in your singing ability?
Yeah, because I don't give a damn what anybody thinks.
That's
about
awesome. That is a good feeling.
Seth,
it must be.
Let me tell you something about you, and then we're going to get to football. I mean this. I don't think I've ever met a more confident person than you. I mean that.
Listen, confidence sits at the root of all things. And when I say all things, I mean all things. And one of the reasons why people don't accomplish things in their life and in the world is because they first believe that they can't.
Yeah.
And then that destroys any confidence that they may have to strike out to do it. Like, you know, this little 195-pound kid who had a dream to play in the National Football League and went away to a no-name school somewhere and all of a sudden got drafted and had an opportunity. If I didn't have confidence, if I allowed anyone along the way of that journey, coaches included, to steal my confidence and my faith in myself, there's no way I could have got there and done it.
How big were you when you went off at first to college? What was your size?
195 pounds.
But height-wise, I've been this tall
oh, since really? I was in the ninth grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just skinny version of Seth. Like really skinny version of Seth.
Yeah. Listen, good football teams, good baseball teams, basketball, and all sports, it always boils down to confidence. When Steph Curry steps up to take a three, there's not a single doubt in his mind that he's going to drain it. Now, the percentages will skew one way or the other, but every time he lets one go, he believes.
I agree with you. Well, Seth, look, it's an honor to have you on the show, and you know we care about you, and you're just a tremendous credit to Philly sports. So and you're not a wuss, all right? I was just joking.
Let me just say,
hey,
listen, my confidence is all I got, man.
No, I think you got more than that. That's all right. You're one of the finest dressers around here. All right, so.
Well, that's not a high bar, Joe.
No, it's not. I don't know.
In today's world, you're right.
No, but Seth, even casual, you are better dressed than anybody here.
Well, I turn those cameras off. I don't want people to see what I'm wearing.
Yeah, but you got style, Seth. You got style. All right, so let's get to our Eagles. They had some style yesterday. What'd you make of the victory?
You know, the show is early. So I don't get a chance to get up and listen to, you know, the callers and everything that goes on. But I also, you know, I tune into, you know, Twitter. Like, Twitter's my deal. That's my thing. Because I love to debate and I love to conversate with people, you know, just as long as they remain respectful. And I'm glad to see that there's probably a 50-50, you know, deal here where people are happy with the way that the Eagles played and 50%, you know, they want to continue on the Jalen Hurts thing. And, oh, he was 10 for 14, 114, you know, yards and one passing touchdown. You know, our quarterback still stinks. They're like, come on, man. Come on. There are 52 weeks in a year. We only get 17 of them to watch football. But we expect perfection out of our football team. They're 4-2. Yeah, they could be 5-1. They could be 3-3. But we've got to learn how to revel. And I'm not saying this just to stay on the positive side because you guys know me well enough know where criticism is due. I'm going to lay it on. I'm going to take the butter knife and spread it on thick because, you know, to me, that's just the way it's
supposed
to be done.
Do you think Jalen played well yesterday? I did not. I thought he made two great plays, the run where he escaped and the long pass to AJ. Otherwise, I thought he was not good. What'd you think of it?
Hey, listen, I told you guys last week that this is going to be a process. There was a play yesterday that kind of summarizes everything and how everybody envisions Jalen Hurts, John. You know, it's easy for people, you know, and we can say this because this is how we lived it. It's easy for people to watch TV, and I do it all the time. Every time I see Jalen drop back, I'm like, let it go, let it go, let it go. It's just it's an automatic thing that comes out of me. Because
Seth, I feel like he's late 90% of the time. I feel like Jalen, when I watch him, my gut is that ball needed to be released 1 second ago, like almost every time he drops back.
Okay. So there is that part of it. But when you're watching the TV version without seeing the all 22, you have no clue what's going on down the
exactly
field.
Exactly. That.
A lot
true
of times,
too.
A lot of times, you have no clue how the play is supposed to progress,
or the progression, the order of the progression. I can't believe people are trying to tell me they know. Joe tries to tell me at times.
Here's what I'll say.
Well, yesterday,
the progression.
Sure. Yesterday, just I'm gonna make
Jalen
this point, then I give it back to you, Joe.
Sure.
Yesterday, Saquon released out of the backfield was wide open to the left.
Yep.
Okay, it's a touchdown if Jalen throws it to him. But Jalen's progression started to the right.
Yep.
Is he supposed to have two
the
sets of eyes?
The whole way to the right.
Yes,
I mean,
everybody could see it on film.
Yeah.
You could see it on TV. Mm-hmm. Throw the ball to Saquon. It's a touchdown.
That's like five or six. That's one, two, three.
But when you're looking all the way to the right, okay, you don't have another set of eyes in the back of your head to be able to see what's going on the left side of the field. Go ahead before I finish.
Well, a couple of things. Here's what here's one of the things I think he lacks. And I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's good. I think he lacks the recognition pre-snap of the possibilities of what could happen out there.
And you get that by playing.
I do. No, you do, but at $250 million, I'd like him to be better. I remember
he's
Seth,
going to be better
listen,
by playing and learning.
Here's a tough comparison because it's like the best ever in a sport. But Wayne Gretzky once said, I don't go to where the puck is. I go to where the puck is going to be. Okay. It's next level. I just wish Jalen was better at some processing things so that, look, I can't say in that moment whether he should or should not have recognized that there was a mismatch over there or a guy blew a cover. I'm not sure. I just know it adds up. I think the concept that AJ and Devontae, who are the two of the best wide receivers in football, would be so frequently blanketed is improbable. You know, that's where, yes, I agree, TV copy, you can't know it all, you can't see it all, but it just adds up to me like Jalen's not that good.
Well, I'll say this. He's in his fourth year as a starter in the National Football League. The contracts in the National Football League are based upon what you've done and the projection of what you'll do down the road. So I think a lot of people are misguided in their belief. Oh, he's making $51 million. He's making $51 million because of what he did behind the signing of that new contract and the potential that the team believed that he could bring to the table. Okay? The other thing is, he's in his third offense, third coordinator.
Fourth if you count Sirianni.
And listen, at the end of the day, I'm trying to bring perspective.
I know.
I'm not trying to cape for him. I'm not trying to make excuses for him like a lot of people think that, you know, that I do sometimes. There are some things that quarterbacks, and I'm not just talking about Jalen, but all quarterbacks, and now that my memory serves me correct, that wide open running back, It was actually, it wasn't in our game yesterday. It was in the Jets game last night where Breece Hall released to the left and he was wide open up the sideline and Aaron Rodgers was, you know, his progression took him right to left. I apologize. I got those.
Well, you might be right because Saquon was to the left. I don't know where Jalen's progression was. It was similar. Yeah. I just don't remember.
It's
where.
A great example of the way
saying,
it can look completely different.
Yes.
And there were plays yesterday where the TV cut actually gave you a view of the play from behind. So you could see the quarterback.
Most notably the one with Devontae when he just didn't hit him in stride.
But that's
all time.
What I'm saying. Every quarterback, and I'm not calling Jalen great. Let's make that clear so far. What I'm saying is every quarterback misses a read.
Sure.
Like I saw Devontae coming, but the ability to expand your vision and wait for that guy on that go route. And you to say, hey, that guy's not open. Let me come to the crosser. And Devontae's right there. Give him the ball. Okay? He's got to evolve as far as that's concerned. His vision has to expand. But I also believe that all quarterbacks miss certain things.
Sure.
And we hold our quarterback, you know, to a higher standard than most. I looked at this last night in utter amazement, and I wanted to come in here. And I wanted to talk about it. Patrick Mahomes yesterday was 16 for 24 for 154 yards and two interceptions and a sack. Is anybody talking about Patrick Mahomes? Not, and I get it. Yeah, he got three Super Bowls. Blah, 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 blah.
Was it two interceptions or was it
two
three?
Two interceptions.
Yeah. I thought it was three.
No, the other guy.
But I will say so. And John has referenced this for a couple weeks. But I will say this. Imagine a scenario where Jalen is playing with what Mahomes is playing with, and Mahomes is playing with A.J. and Devontae and Saquon.
Joe, you know, listen.
That's a tremendous difference.
Drawing up the plays for him?
Andy Reid can't tell that. Andy Reid can't tell. You cannot tell.
You have.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No.
Yeah, you can, Joe.
You will never convince me of that.
If Jalen Hurts had Andy Reid at this point in his career and his assistants, he'd be an all-pro every single year.
I'm not saying he wouldn't be better.
Every year.
I'm just telling you, I can't even name a Chiefs receiver right now. Is Hardman still there?
I don't care. Yeah,
yes.
He is. Scored a touchdown yesterday.
I mean, Travis Kelce is old.
But Joe.
Best tight end receiving ever. He's old.
I don't care because coaching matters. See, you know,
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but who you play with matters also.
I understand that.
Okay,
I understand that. But how you perceive and how you understand the game has a lot to do with that as well.
Well, sure.
Okay?
I know, yeah.
One of the things that... I'm going to take it here. It might be a little controversial, but I'm going to take it here.
Okay.
One of the biggest issues that I have with the black quarterback and how he's developed is the non-development of him, okay?
How it's discussed or the actual non-development?
The actual non-development,
okay.
Especially today. Because today what we do, look at Cam Newton, look at Lamar Jackson, look at RG3, look at even Jalen Hurts, and look at how the game has evolved with these running quarterbacks. So you bring them in, they're okay passes, but they're not really good passes.
Right.
Okay, so what do? You devise an offense around them, read option that utilizes their legs and whatnot.
Sure, totally.
And after they get beat to hell and they start to decline, everybody wants to jump on them and talk about how bad they are. Okay, I'm in favor of drafting these guys and sitting them for a year and developing their quarterbacking skills. Like when Lamar Jackson came out, I prayed that he went to New England. I can remember I was on Fox, and I was debating these guys, Fox Sport FS1, and I was like, I hope New England. And then why New England? I said, because he can sit behind Tom Brady for 2 years and learn how to play the quarterback position. I said, because if they don't, he's going to go somewhere, and they're going to build an offense around him. And it's going to limit him because he's going to think that he's arrived in the National Football League, and they're going to he's never going to develop as a passer. And as a quarterback, you have to develop as a passer. And the problem with the NFL is they placate these guys. Like, my hope after 22 was that Jalen would ascend as a passer.
Of course.
Okay?
Yeah, of course.
And I said, okay, they held him back from passing last year, but, you know, they're going to develop that side of his game in the upcoming
and
year.
Don't you think they're trying? See, because I do.
I don't see it, Joe.
You don't see the results.
You know what I see?
What?
I see an offense that's greedy. I heard you guys when I was coming in about the 4th-and-3.
Sure.
It's absolute insanity. It's absolute insanity and stupidity that you would even take a chance and throw in that.
It's a low percentage pass. But it worked, but it's low percentage.
But this is the analytics, and this is the world that we live in, and this is how we operate now. It's no longer the prudent thing to get the first down and get 4 more downs. The prudent thing in people's minds now is that, oh, guess what? I got a one-on-one with my best wide receiver out here. They don't even take into consideration that the quarterback might get hit, that he might be a little inaccurate. But the minute you throw that ball 40 yards down the field, guess what? You just turn the ball over at midfield, dummy. And you've given the other team hope. So when you talk about developing a quarterback, you know, there's certain situations that you take chances. There's certain situations where you take a shot. Not there. You're not there. The same way it didn't work out for him last week. It's 3rd-and-1. Saquon didn't get the first down, okay? And I went back and I looked at this, and it absolutely blew my mind. They showed on 3rd-and-1, zero blitz, John. There wasn't a safety in the hole. You had 3 wide receivers out in the route, and they were all man-to-man with their defenders 6 to 8 yards off the ball, okay? It's 3rd-and-1 now. Eagles got 2 timeouts. Most teams, most quarterbacks, as soon as they came out and surveyed the field, they would have looked and said, oh, my number one, A.J. Brown, is over here, and he's got he's got all of this space.
Yep.
Whatever the play call was, they would have snapped the ball, raised up, and threw it to him right now. Because guess what? It's a high probability he's going to make that guy miss.
Yeah.
And now it's to the house.
It's an easy first down and maybe more.
If he doesn't, A.J. is going to be trying to get out of bounds.
Yeah.
Okay? And you still got 2 first downs. You hold on to the ball, and granted, if Saquon picks up his guy, it's a touchdown because Devontae on the post route is wide open, okay? But against zero blitz, you can't wait for that. You can't wait for that, Joe. Throw the damn hitch route out here, okay? You got 2 timeouts. So the decision that you make because you want to be greedy against a defense where you're going to get a free runner causes a 10 to 14 point swing, and instead of you being up 10 to 3 or 10 or 14 to 3 at half, you go in 10 to 10.
Let me just say this.
That's
Seth.
Coaching now.
All right, I agree with a lot of what you
he
said.
He wasn't equipped with the plan to deal with what was presented.
I don't think a lot of times he's equipped, because how many sit down routes do you see, John? How many curls or hooks do you see the Eagles run? Everything is up the field and everything's crossing. Even in zone. Set the tight end down in zone.
Seth, here's my one pushback on you. I agree with a lot of what you said, but I don't agree with the supposition that they didn't try to do different stuff with him. I think they did. I think they have coached him. I think they have seen limitations. And unlike Chip Kelly, have tailored an offense around what the player actually can do and try to avoid what he can't do. And I appreciate that, but I do wish he could do more. And James knows, John promised in the offseason with Kellen Moore here that John would not put it on coaching if Jalen's game did not evolve. Well, and it's not evolved.
I
tend to think it's because it's Jalen, not a Kellen issue.
Well, see, this goes back to development, because I get a lot of people on social media, oh, he can't throw the ball over the middle of the field. Oh, he won't throw the ball over the middle of the field. He doesn't like that, so they don't do things that he likes. And I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, ex-Eagle, just the other day. And I said, I can understand when a coaching staff is putting together his first 15, him calling his quarterback in, and he says, okay, you know, we're going to put together the first 15 together. Tell me what you like. Okay? And he's going to implement some of the things that the quarterback likes. But as the offensive coordinator, it's your job to call the plays, and it's the quarterback's job to execute the plays. So I don't really give a damn what you like. Okay? When I call a play, this is what we execute.
I agree.
Okay? So if the coach is calling the play for a sit down, you got zone coverage and your tight end pushes up the field and he sits down like Kelsey in between the two zones. If that's what he called, that's where you throw
but
the damn ball.
But what's the unless? Unless they think he's not good at it.
No, there's no unless.
No, there is.
There is no unless.
Unless
no,
they think he's not good at
you send him
what?
To
throw any to number, a tight end?
Any no, throwing over. Like, let me give you an example.
The easiest pass in the world. The easiest pass for a quarterback is the route right in front of him. Right over center, John.
But hold on, Seth. And
you're going to tell me that he can't throw that?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. We saw a play yesterday, and somehow we got into a whole Jalen thing for 25 minutes, and that's fine. I think it's interesting. There's a whole game. We'll get to the rest of the game coming up next. But I'll just say this. We saw in a simple play yesterday, I thought, a limitation. I don't know how many people noticed this. It struck me. The Eagles actually tried a pretty normal screen pass to the left. The ball got batted down by the edge rusher on the right. I believe a big reason why the ball got batted down is Jalen's just not a tall quarterback.
No, Fred Johnson needs to. Fred Johnson.
I understand that.
Even the guy in the broadcast, John, said, he's got to get his hands down.
But here's what Mark Sanchez did not say. If my quarterback is 6'5" instead of 6', it's easier to get that ball to the running back. That's
but
true.
But if you know that ball's coming out fast, you chop the defender protecting his knees.
I acknowledge
that's his assignment. He didn't do his assignment.
I acknowledge your point. Do you acknowledge my point that his height hurts?
Yes. Okay. I agree 100%. Okay. But that's coaching, Joe.
Well, you can't coach height. It is what it is.
You don't have to coach height. You can coach the probabilities of what happens. If you want to talk
about, I agree.
About,
that's why I think Eagles, they don't run those plays often. That's my whole point.
No, if the Eagles want to be this heavy analytics team, okay, then use your analytics in every area, okay? Use it in coaching from a technique and a fundamental standpoint. If you know you want to run that play, then that defensive end has to be chopped. You can't allow him to go up the field.
No, I agree.
A 6'5 quarterback wasn't completing that. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, okay? Look, a lot going on here, including we're going to get Seth's assessment of the Eagles' defense coming up next.
It's too early for that high,
That's
man.
That's too high.
Yeah, I can do Barry White this early in the morning.
I'm so disappointed. I thought this guy was a hero. I thought he was confident. Okay.
I'm always confident, man.
You know what?
No doubt about it.
Even Cher knows.
And
Apparently not. All right, let's go to the phones. That was good stuff. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Time's yours in a few minutes. I'm curious if we're going to get any calls on John having a girlfriend. Got some calls on Friday and time's yours to John having a new...
Wait a minute.
A new gal.
Breaking news?
Friday, breaking news.
Hi, this is the news.
But it's not Devin. It's just breaking news.
Yeah. No.
That when James plays that, it makes people think John's going out with Devin. It's not that.
Hear this is the news and assume.
Well, I mean, we say John's
news.
Got a girlfriend, yes. And then you play Devin's voice. I could see how that would confuse people.
Oh.
I mean, you know, come on.
That's true. Well, my girlfriend is involved with the news, which is why he's saying this is the news. Also,
involved with the news.
Don't open that can of worms.
He's opening up information. Okay.
They're going to go digging, man.
I mean,
I hadn't even thought of that when I hit the drop.
That's why you were doing that.
Okay. I mean, you take it as far as you're comfortable
taking
it.
It's because I just didn't want to hit the actual breaking news sounder, so it was like a nice in between. Yeah.
What Seth was just saying about John.
Listen to Seth.
John was about to disclose information, and Seth Joyner just went Pat Riley and said,
"You should keep your mouth shut."
Okay. We'll say. Let's get some calls in here.
I've got an affinity for you, John. I'm just trying to protect you, man. These guys in here, that guy sitting next to you, he's trying to cut your throat. Man.
No, I love my man. I'm looking out for him, too. Let's go to the phones.
I trust you.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to Anthony in Southwest Philly. What's up?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tone.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Anthony, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Seth, so great to hear your voice, man.
Thank you, man.
I was a big fan. Joe, I love you. I love you to death, man. But I was actually calling in, man, to say, what are we doing? Listen, I get that Jalen is not all world. He's not, you know, some of the things that you're saying is true. But let's be real about who we're dealing with here. So Jalen comes to Philadelphia, right? He first year, 2021. He's 9-8. He doesn't have the best year, but he has a great year for a first year guy. His second year as a starter.
I won't say great. I'd say it was decent. Look, I think they benefited from a very easy schedule and they ran the ball a ton. But it was a decent 2021. I'll say that.
First year start. He had a better first year, you know, than a lot of guys that are Hall of Famers, you know, their first years in the NFL.
Well, to be fair, it was his second year in the NFL. It was his first year as a full-time starter.
As a full-time starter.
Yes.
I'm 7 foot. I played basketball all my life. My first year playing as a pro overseas, being a full-time starter, I know that feeling. Jalen, his second year as a starter, full-time starter in the National Football League, takes us to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He outplayed Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the National Football League in that game. We didn't lose the game because of him. You know, the next year he comes back, 2023. He doesn't have the best year, but he starts the season 10-1. Everywhere the guy has gone, he's a winner. At Alabama, he loses one game his entire 2 years there. He goes to Oklahoma. He's 32-5 all time in college. Comes to National Football League. He does everything that he's being asked to do. And I agree with Seth. I think at the end of the day, you know, I grew up playing basketball in North Carolina. I told you guys this the other day. I had the pleasure of playing on the best high school team in the state of North Carolina basketball for 4 years in a row.
Was a guy named Mike on your team?
No. Michael Jordan as a freshman would have got cut.
Were you the guy that made the team instead of Michael Jordan?
No, but I also had the pleasure, right, of going to work Coach Krzyzewski's camp for 3 years in a row.
Yep.
And this guy was the most brilliant mind that I've ever talked to. My high school coach was a big fan of his. And one of the things he used to do after camp every day was sit down and talk to the younger coaches that were coming up. And the thing that I take with me, I coach now today, right? I coach high school basketball. The thing that he used to always tell younger guys, younger coaches, is that guys don't have to love you. They don't have to, you know, want to come to your house and eat dinner with you. But if you want to win, you better make sure that the guys that are on your team, your 1A guys, that they respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't respect you, you don't win. And the reason I say that, and I'll let you guys go and talk about it, is because when I have frustrations with certain coaches, when I played basketball, whether it was in college, Division I basketball, or overseas, as a man, when I started to come into my own, the important thing for me to do was to get in a room and sit down and talk to my coach. because if I lost respect for you, buddy, it was going to.
Well, Anthony, it sounds like Sirianni and Hurts may have gotten on the same page a little bit more than they had been. Exactly. And if they did, that's great. Exactly. Anthony, I have two requests for you, of you.
Yeah.
Request one, because you are a sensational caller. Please call us more often. You're a great caller. Request two, I ask specifically that you call in about 2 years. And while we may have done this Jalen conversation many times between now and then, let's really revisit it in 2 years and find out where things stand. Fair?
I think that's fair.
All right, my man.
Joe, I agree with you. Listen, I'm not saying that the guy's all world, but what I'm saying is when I look at a guy that has the kind of character that he does, that shows up and can work through his mistakes and gets better. Listen, it was us. It was the Eagles, right? Jalen was never a great pocket passer. That's not what got him to the NFL.
Yeah.
He was a winner. And at the end of the day, we decided, the Eagles, whether it was the coaching or the front office, we decided that we wanted to make him this guy that could stand in the pocket, and maybe he will become that. But
yeah, all right, Anthony, we got to get to a lot, but good call, my man. I appreciate that. Seth, let's get to the defense. Simple question. I don't know if it's a simple answer. Is the Eagles' defense good?
They have the potential to be good.
But not currently.
Well,
I mean, I would not say yes. I'd say I'm getting closer, but I'm not there to say I would say yes. Sounds like you're not ready to say
listen,
yes either.
I was encouraged. The problem The problem that they have is they face two teams in back-to-back weeks who either couldn't run the ball or decided not to run the ball. You want to know the one player yesterday that scared me the most before kickoff? The Tyrone Tracy Jr. kid, the running back for the Giants? They never gave him the ball. They gave him the ball like two times in the first half. That kid is a hell of a running back, and you watch. He is going to be – he's going to explode once he gets in the right situation. Defensively, they have to play more press, and they have to blitz because just straight up, I don't think they're good enough straight up. You know, they don't have that premier pass rusher. Straight up. So they have to do some things. They have to take some chances.
Yeah.
How many sacks are we talking for our inside linebackers? Like N'Kobe Dean with two sacks yesterday.
Yeah, Zach Bond had
two. Is he going to have double-digit sacks?
No. Listen, Zach Bond had two the first week of the season against the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
How many has he had since then?
Yeah. Not many.
Well, I mean, Vic did a good job of scheming up and getting N'Kobe running through, you know, some blitzes where he wasn't blocked yesterday.
We got a lot to get to. I want to ask you one question before time's yours. We could tell right away Quinyon Mitchell is a baller.
Mm-hmm.
Is Cooper DeJean a baller?
Absolutely.
He looks like it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know who else I love? Mm-hmm. I love Kelee Ringo.
Good.
I really do.
Good.
I really do. At some point in time, I like to see him get a little more playing time. I think the secondary for the first time is in really, really good shape. And having Sidney Brown back, I think that's going to create some, you know, some three safety situations for Vic, but it also is going to create some competition on the back end.
Oh, yeah.
CJ's going to have to start stepping up.
Perfect.
Blankenship's going to have to start stepping up, you know, and getting it done because they're going to have to play that young guy.
Is it possible that they Reed Blankenship is not good enough to – Reed or CJGJ are not good enough to stay on the field?
Not this year. This year. I just think that Sidney gives them versatility, and it creates competition. Now – you just signed CJGJ to, a three-year deal? Pretty good money. And Reed's probably coming up in another year or two. So, Howie's going to have some decisions to make, especially if Sidney Brown can come back and start progressing like he was, you know, before the knee injury last year. But, you know, we'll see.
All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, after an Eagles win and the announcement of John having a girlfriend, I look forward to Time's Yours, which is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Let's go, John. Richie in your face, Joe.
I guess I have a girlfriend that I'm fascinated by.
That's right. Now I'm that girlfriend. Let's go, John.
Thank you very much.
We ought to put that on T-shirts.
Okay, I think we need to revisit the name Hammer, as Saquon Barkley has proven to be much more of a hammer as of late than those others who take that name. So I think this Friday, Saquon Barkley should be eligible to beat the Hammer. Go Eagles.
Well, he's certainly eligible. I mean, he's not an employee, so he can compete and try to go for the prize. I mean, I would say it goes Dave Schultz, then Joe DeCamera, then Saquon Barkley.
Philadelphia Eagles turned quarterback Jalen Hurts into a handoff machine, and all of a sudden the offense looks great, and there's 7 points on the board. So I guess the key to the offense moving forward is just preventing Jalen Hurts from throwing the football.
Well, that's somewhat of what I think. Not as excessively as you're referring to, but or implying, but I think there is a strategy there.
177 yards rushing for Saquon Barkley. Keep feeding the dog. Feed the dog.
Look, he's amazing, man. Incredible.
Yeah, I just heard a pretty cool stat about the Eagles. They're undefeated since John Ritchie announced he has a girlfriend. Time's yours.
Okay. Ooh. All right. I like that. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-233-4500.
Did you decide against the uniform forever and ever now?
Which thing?
Did you decide against the uniform, baseball, Phillies, forever and ever?
No. Nah.
Is that the conclusion we reached?
No.
We were teetering.
Can I tell you the conclusion I'm at? I'm not so much on the uniform, but on the Phillies. And I'll talk about this more later in the week. People got to back off the Phils.
The Yankees
and Dodgers just made the World Series after getting eliminated in the first playoff round 3 years in a row. Just because you lose doesn't mean you're a bunch of bums that can't win the next year. I know they both made splash moves this past offseason, but I really do hope people take...
Did someone say they were a bunch of bums who couldn't win next year?
A lot of callers said the Phillies cannot win next year. And I just think that's inaccurate.
So that is inaccurate.
You gotta, for me... Can you look at the Yankees and begin to see the trend in the right directions, even though they lost the previous 3 years in a row?
Not really. I mean, they kept losing in the first series they would play in.
I understand that, but
I mean,
the
Dodgers weren't even winning a game. James, didn't they get swept last year?
They did. Yes.
But look at their roster, Joe.
My point is the Phillies are also in range of a title. Everyone, like, I'm not saying don't tweak some stuff, but I am saying I hope people like. Chill pill it a little bit.
If they don't learn how to play small ball in certain situations and try to move the runner over and stop swinging for the fences every single time, I'm telling you, this will be like Groundhog
Look,
Day.
Look, Seth, I get it, but I'll say this. I get offended as a Phillies fan, who is also a Sixers fan, equal. I get the Philly side of me gets offended when people lump the Phillies in with the Sixers. I think it is so unfair. I mean, the Sixers have not won one playoff series in 7 years that they weren't supposed to win, that was a galvanizing victory. The Phillies gave us incredible thrills.
But that doesn't mean the Phillies don't deserve to be crushed for the way the last two seasons have ended.
I agree with you. What I disagree, and I've stated it since last week when this all started, the people that say they can't win, I disagree with that.
I'll never say what someone can or can't do. Because I don't know what's inside that person or that group.
Yeah.
But what I will say is I don't believe that they can win with the brand of baseball that they play.
Absolutely.
I just don't think so.
All right.
Because your pitching has to be hot at the right time, and they went cold.
They did. I'll trust that staff.
And you got to hit the ball, and they can't all be home runs.
All right, Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin Chevy has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. John, the poll question, how do you think people voted? We asked them to be honest. Before the play began, did they like Sirianni going for fourth and three from the Giants 41 in the second quarter? Yes or no? How did people vote, John?
I'm going to say... Aggressiveness is applauded. 64% say yes.
53 say yes. 47 say
liars.
No.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.